Hey, Dave here from the Breakfast with Manny podcast, which comes from when my co-host Emmanuel, also known as Manny, and I used to meet regularly for breakfast. When we were discussing the shifting landscape of manhood, mostly by sharing our experiences and our struggles, as well as my coaching courses and my entrepreneurial experience, we realized many men could benefit from discussing these topics. So Breakfast with Manny is going to explore the unseen patterns that sabotage men from realizing their potential, healing, and getting the life, sex, career, and health they want, leading to a healthy masculine life. Hey everyone, welcome to season 2, episode 2 of Breakfast with Manny. I'm Dave, host, coach, and entrepreneur, and I'm here, strangely enough, with Manny. Hey, dude.
Hey, Dave. My name is Emmanuel, also known as Manny, co-host of the podcast. I'm excited to be here, Dave, another episode.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Awesome. Yeah, like, just real quick, we used to have breakfast together and a lot of interesting exchanges, and we thought it could help people. So that's why we're here.
Yeah.
All right. Season 2, episode 2. I call it somewhat, I don't know if the title's going to match up with our editor, but I call it Masculinity and Femininity Lost. And I got some stories around this that we're going to talk about. So you down with that?
Let's get into it. I don't know what that means. So let's cool. Do it.
I love it.
Well, let's learn and discuss. Yes.
Let's learn. All right. So I have a guy who reached out to me. He was looking for a little bit of advice and telling me a story about his girlfriend. Now, I know the story a bit. She's got some, definitely got some anger towards men and the masculine. And he's a bit of a nice guy and kind of like, you know, trying to keep her from freaking out, and which can be a massive mistake. And I'm going to tell everyone why in a minute. So he said, you know, we've been having some troubles, ups and downs. And he goes, she was finally going away for the weekend. And I was like, oh, I can go golfing, which is really an interesting thing to say, right? Being, you know, my age, I'm like, I said, you realize you can go golfing whenever you want, right?
Yeah.
But he sounded like a little kid, and this happens in relationships. Like we get into our inner child or we're triggered or whatever, but he's like, oh, I can go golfing. But the problem was, for some reason, he didn't tell her that he was going to go golfing. I don't know why. He just thought, I'll just won't tell her. So when she canceled her weekend and she's like, hey, Sunday, we're good. We can hang out. He didn't tell her. Like, so what happened was she calls him and he was on the golf course and he missed 5 holes of golf trying to like settle her down. And, you know, I asked him like, how do you think that went? He goes, it was a fucking horrible mistake. And I said, look, dude, like next time you say, hey, look, I am golfing. I will get back to you. I will call you as soon as I'm done. But I don't think it's helpful to walk around for 5 holes. But what's interesting was, he hid something from her, and in the end, it just came back to bite him so badly. And I just said, why didn't you just tell her you were golfing? He goes, I have no idea, which that's a whole other thing about subconscious stuff, right?
Definitely things there. But I mean, I've been in scenarios in which guys are picking up the phone, friends, and they're there for 30 minutes on the phone with the girlfriend, having to explain themselves. There's definitely things that we can do to avoid these situations, like big time. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. How about just being really, really honest, number one?
Yeah.
And number two, not being afraid. Like he did note, I said, like, it sounds to me, am I correct? You're afraid of your girlfriend. And he's like, yes, I am.
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
And, you know, it reminds me of another buddy of mine who I know who's married. And he was talking about, you know, being really afraid of his wife's feedback. And like, I tiptoe. And like, I see this a lot of this eggshell stuff. But I think the eggshell stuff's on us. And I think that's where men can really step into, like, be honest. Like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, yes, don't be mean, but just be direct. Be straight ahead.
If we dive a bit deeper into that.
Yeah.
So if I ask you, why do you think that men decide to take the difficult? Because I think it's the difficult path.
Right.
Medium to long term. It's the easy path at the beginning because you don't have to.
Correct.
To say something, right? At the beginning, you're hiding something because you think it's going to be better like this. Yeah. She's not going to be mad. She's not going to be.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oof. Right now, it's better. But then down the line, it bites you back because then something like that happens.
Oh, yeah.
But so if we look at that initial behavior, why do you think that happens? You think, is it because as men, we are scared of women? Are we scared of the consequences? We say some, but a lot of...
Maybe a lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
And I see...
Yeah. I've seen it.
I look backwards and I know decisions that I've taken in some moments were probably influenced by what if she doesn't like this? What if she gets upset about this? And then having to divert a little bit, maybe not lying, but saying something a little bit different so it sounds better. So,
You know. You know, you're hitting on something big and I kind of didn't want to talk about this, but I will. And I wrote something, but truthful bad news from a man to a woman is way better than good news lying, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to figure out how to tell this because I do want to quickly tell it. So I did mention on season one, I did have an affair of sorts and I got caught. And when I had an opportunity to come clean, now this is way before I did any coaching, any work, anything. I was whatever I was. So I made up a bunch of bullshit, flimsy excuses like, no, we just text each other sexy stuff. And God bless you, Jenny, if you remember this. But, you know, and I my ex-wife and I are really good now. And she knows I've apologized and we've talked about it. And she knew her part in it, whatever. But I will say this, like, if I had just said, like, I need to tell you something, not easy. This is what happened. This is what went on. And I stepped into my full frame as a man and I said, I'm going to own this. Instead, and the other thing is we all as men know, and women too, when anyone's lying, kids, you have this little, feeling, right?
Yeah.
So here I am cowering. I was scared of my ex-wife at the time too, but here I am cowering, right? I'm like, and I've had that experience with women myself. Yeah, for sure. And I think the reason we do it is a lot of us are conflict avoidant.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that's also being truth avoidant. So I just said to him, like, what would your life have been like if you just told you went golfing? He's like, oh my God, it would have been totally like, I would have been fine. What was interesting was many women, when they're faced with a guy who's not fully truthful, they feel it. And then you get tested. So she went after this guy, like hard, to like see what kind of boundaries and what kind of man is he.
Yeah.
And she wants to see a guy who goes, you know what? I'm going to do better. And I don't like how this went down. And I'm doing some work around this. But like just that frameness of like, I think people know what I'm talking about. Like when I'm not in my bullshit and I'm at my manly best, let's say, like I have a frame. Like I feel like, ugh, like. Yeah, and when you're lying, you're like, ugh.
Yeah,
you're repressed, contracted, you're little.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was really interesting. And I do believe women, well, I mean, when you look at the world today with all the lying, cheating, stealing that we've talked about, which is unfortunate and mostly by men, women are looking for men to stand up and have integrity and be the men that they want to be. And I asked my dude, I'm like, is that the guy you want to be? Like shrinking away from, like, that's not even terrible news that you're going golfing.
Right.
And that's, she was away
it's
anyway.
It's the most normal thing. That's the funny thing.
And she
thing.
Was away and he was still scared.
I know. It's crazy. Sometimes, but I look back at some decisions I've taken. And also, there's moments in which we all do it. It's something that's so insignificant as going golfing.
We all do that. To that guy, because I know he'll listen.
Extremely, yeah.
This is nothing. Like, you're not abnormal. We've all done it. I remember, you know, I was with another woman who I was probably a little afraid of. And I meandered is what it is. Like, and I think what the world wants from men is be a salt. Who are you?
Yep.
You know, like, do you wobble? Do you go off center? And like, when you stand in and you can tell the truth, then the woman knows she can trust you. She may not like what you say.
Yeah, that's an important point too. It doesn't mean that because you rip off the Band-Aid and because you say difficult things, it's going to be all happy and flowers. There's going to be difficult moments, but
you're the guy you want
to
be.
No, exactly. You're being truthful to yourself. There's not that feeling. You're being truthful. Yeah. And also, I think the outcome of that situation, there's a lot more respect and appreciation from the other side deep down, even if it's difficult. Because I've told my girlfriend sometimes difficult things, and when I've done it there.
No.
At first it hurts. No, at first it hurts. At first it's like, wow, like I did not expect this.
Yeah.
And then the reaction after that comes with a, wow, I'm so happy you told me. Yeah. Like now I can understand from your perspective what this is all about. Yeah. Instead of what you just said before, me changing things a little bit, her suspecting, and then it's a normal reaction. If you suspect, then you want to test the person. No, I feel like you're not being fully truthful.
You know, like, they're going to poke you hard. They're going to go deep. They want how out of integrity are you?
Exactly.
You know, so when I spoke to this guy about repairing this, I said, I recommended, and he asked me for a recommendation. I just said, like, why don't you get in front of her and say, hey, listen, I have to tell you something hard. I noticed, I am now aware, I have been afraid of you. And I don't want to live like that anymore. So I'm going to be telling you things. So, you know, there was some stuff with his ex-wife. There was some stuff with his children, and he noticed. And you know, there's a saying like, how you do one thing is anything is how you do everything. He was doing it all over the place, and he saw it. But good for him; he's taking responsibility.
Yeah.
So that's part one of what I wanted to chat about.
Any changes, by the way, like, not to get into specifics, but has he applied some of these changes? Maybe you're watching this, but
yeah.
Have any of these things changed or not yet?
I don't know yet. We haven't spoken
yet?
Since.
Yeah, interesting. Maybe something recent, to discuss.
But you know, what I would say is I would give him an awful lot of credit for his curiosity and his willingness to learn different things and to talk it through. And the only other thing I'll say, I've noticed something. I don't know if it's true or not. It might be anecdotal, but even I was at the grocery store today and I watched, like, I've seen so many men behind their women at the grocery store, kind of like following around, waiting to be told what to do. And it doesn't mean that the men should be telling the women what to do, but it's just an interesting thing that I've seen. I mean, people can look for that. Go to your local grocery store, take a look. It's pretty interesting. I've seen it a lot, dude.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, so. Same.
All right. So if we move on, I also want to say, I'm going to do it in this order. So I went to this crazy course. It's called Bridge and Extreme with Preston Smiles and Alexi Panos, two of my master coaches. They're incredible. What an incredible opportunity. So part of it was they challenge you on everything. They challenge you on being a man. They challenge the women on being women. And what was really interesting to me was I heard it. It's a two-weekend course. So you do Saturday, Sunday, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So 5 days out of 10.
Yeah.
In those 5 days, you know how many times I heard guys go, yeah, I really need to find my balls. And how many women say, oh, I really need to learn how to receive and soften. And that's why I call it masculinity and femininity lost.
Okay.
So I'll give you a story on that. Like, I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was really interesting. Got to know some great people there. Oh, love everybody there. This group, I'm still connected on WhatsApp with every single one of them. To the Bridge Extreme July 2024. I love you guys. We went to, there's a place called Barton Springs in Austin, Texas, and it's a cool spring. And so one of the women, or a couple of the women, I was offering to just help them out of the spring, like, just because there was rocks and whatever. And
okay.
I was actually doing it more because I was sympathetic, because I have very sensitive feet, actually. My feet were killing me, but I'm like, hey, I'll give you a hand. And we were all discussing our shit all week. So one of the ladies who I really like from Italy was like, she's like, I just want to say no. I just want to tell you that I don't need your help. She goes, but I'll take it. Because she was working on receiving. She couldn't receive very well.
Okay.
So grabbed her hand, helped her out. And she was like, I really like that. I thought it was hilarious. She started like going, oh, receiving's actually okay. And we went out for dinner that night, and it was really interesting. There was another woman from Germany who said, well, I fucking hate it when guys hold doors for me. And then two of the other women were like, no, I love it. And that's fine, like individual stuff. But I asked the woman why she doesn't like it. And what became apparent was there was a very strong translation of the man is saying you're weak. The man is saying you're lesser than, right? And I, you know what? I got on my horse and I just talked about speaking truth. I said to this woman, I didn't want to say her name. I said, if I may, I think that's your problem. Because when I'm doing it, if I'm opening a door for someone, man or woman, I'm not saying you're a loser in my mind. My intention is I'm just opening the door.
Right.
But to her, she was like, oh, I hate it. And I hate it when
means
men do that.
I can't do it myself. Yeah. Or,
of course you can.
Yeah.
But you don't have to. So it was interesting to listen to the... There were so many dynamics between men and women.
Where does that come from, though? Is it... Because I've talked about this with my girlfriend, too. And something that I hear that she's told me is, you know, we're in the era now of... Well, now it's been a little bit, but of women being more independent, of...
More
of
empowered.
Saying, yeah. Empowered, exactly. Yeah. Empowered is the word there.
Yeah.
But then that creates also some sort of narratives that because I'm independent and empowered, then I don't need...
Right.
The men's help. Ever. I don't need. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Ever. And it's a funny thing because I think we need each other. I think women need men, not necessarily just to open doors and honestly to open doors, but just like men need women also to just collaborate together. And I'm happy you went to this exercise and to kind of look into this and explore further. Did you see? So how did women react when they had to open up? Oof. Was it difficult? What were the challenges?
Some of them, it was difficult, but what was interesting, every single one that did do it, and they almost all did, absolutely were like, oh my God, what am I doing? They're like, why am I not receiving more? I like receiving. Receiving's actually okay.
It's actually good, yeah.
So to the point, there was a woman who was relatively closed at the course and then opened and opened and opened and opened. And she like said, she let a guy hold her for her flight home. Like they had a hug like for a long time. And she was like, oh my God, I forgot about this. So again, we didn't start the podcast to be, I mean, speaking of framing up and being a man, my personal opinion is women have been told very strongly that they don't need men, and they don't, but we're better together than we are apart, because men and women together have a certain energetic when it's receiving and giving or vice versa. That's incredible. And so many women that softened at this course were like, what am I doing? Like, why am I not receiving more? And I may be able to get one or two of them on the pod actually eventually, and we'll really dig into this, because it is so important for our society and our humanity. Just like, but it doesn't mean men don't receive, and it doesn't mean women don't give.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you can't. No. It's just
no.
But, we've kind of pushed that away.
Yeah.
Right now, and it's yeah. I'm sure it feels good to.
There was someone in the course, a woman, who said, like, I feel like we have greatly devalued men. And like, she got into that a bit. And there's also a side to it. Let's be honest. When you look at the news, and we've talked about this a million times, like the majority of shitty things is still men. And we have a lot of healing to do and a lot of work to do. But there's a second part to this, is what about when men stepped up? So I'll give you an example of a good friend of mine who he felt approaching a woman like he was a burden. He's like, oh, I don't want to creep on a girl. I don't. So he was denying women from himself, like the possibility of being a partner. So they worked on him pretty good. They did some fun stuff with him. And as soon as he got home, he said, hey, by the way, I went up to a strange woman and asked her out. I'm like, well, how did it feel? He goes, I feel great. And like, again, I've said this many times, like nobody really likes a super hesitant, soft man. And you want to be a combination of spine and heart.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, I'm going to tell a story about myself. One of the things I learned is I'm backing away from like stepping into my manhood to some degree, even though I talk about healthy masculinity all the time. I realized how afraid I was and how I wasn't stepping up with people. And I started to, and I have to tell you, the second I found my spine again at this course, like I stepped into a major leadership role. I stepped into I tried everything they gave us. I played fucking full out as hell. And I walked out of there going like, oh my God, I'm a man again. I feel phenomenal. People in the airport were reacting to me differently.
Like, what the?
They're like, who is this guy? And like, I had people smiling, and I had, like, the world just opens to you when you're a man who can work on connecting his heart and his spine.
Yeah.
And so many of us have lost that, right?
True.
Yeah.
True. I see myself going into certain situations with a certain energy and confidence. Again, being myself, and the reaction I get from people is so different.
Yeah.
Hence why, yeah. Again, going back to the comfort zone aspect of being yourself, and sometimes maybe also being yourself can... Sometimes people can be also a little bit afraid or yep. But I think it's our responsibility. It's to be true to yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. You said the women, so there was a big thing of opening up. What about men? Were there different exercises, yes, in terms?
Yeah.
So what was the thing for guys?
Well, I mean, I'm not allowed to share the exercises per se. I can tell you that they had a lot of men do bold things in public, let's say, to people, which was super cool to watch. But I watched all the women, almost all of them, really, like, understand that they're not giving up their power. They're not giving up their femininity by allowing a man to give to them. And so, like, you see these blossoming moments. Mm. And the men, they stepped up and they found
their balls.
They found their balls. Yeah. Like, I'll tell a funny story. I thought it was funny. So in weekend one, the coach told me, said, like, Dave, feel your heart. Like, you're very heart-based. Feel your balls a little bit, but I could feel your balls more.
That's a funny thing to say.
Whatever that means. And weekend two, as I said, I stepped into this really big leadership moment. And I found myself, right? So as I was giving the speech, we did a mission, a fundraising mission. I took over and I don't know, went really well. And as I got up, I looked at that coach as I was giving my big closing, because I like, obviously I like talking. I started talking about the adventure, about the mission and all that. And I said, you know, weekend one, I was told, feel your heart, but you need to marry your heart with your spine and your balls. And so I just turned to her and I go, I don't remember her. I didn't say her name, but I looked at her and I just said, hey. And I grabbed my balls and like, feel my balls now. But I got to be honest, it felt phenomenal.
It felt great.
It felt like a man again.
You did come back with an incredible energy, though, from that
Thank
event.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
different.
I mean,
different.
Definitely helped.
Yeah. You're going to see on the pod, like, I think people that saw episode one, I was still in a little bit of healing mode, maybe more feminine, energetic. I'm ready to go now. Like,
here's a question for you. Here's a question for you. So, and I asked you this already before, but I want to discuss this on the pod, but.
Yeah.
I've went to one of these events. It's not the same thing. I know you can tell me it's not apples to apples. I went to Tony Robbins.
Yeah, yeah.
It was maybe like a long time ago, like 7, 8 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I came back from that event and I was so pumped.
Yeah.
I was so pumped. I remember I was like, I can do anything I want.
Yes.
I don't care. I can do anything I want.
Yes.
And that lasted for 2 weeks to a month.
Yeah.
And then, but they talked about it also during the seminar, whatever it was. He said, like, there's things you got to do to continue without fire.
True.
And if you don't do these things, then you're going to come back to your regular same thing that you and I just talked about this whole weekend. You're going to come back to those same habits.
You got it.
My question to you is, what's the mission? How are you going to keep this energy and make sure that you're as pumped? Because you came back really pumped.
I came
like
pumped.
The thing you did there with our shooting interview, we talked about last pod of you dancing in front of strangers. I would have asked you to do that 2 weeks ago?
No chance. Actually, we forgot something that's really important. So we did street interviews and I noticed, wow, like remember before I went, I was in the back and you were like, I don't give a shit. I'll ask anybody. I don't give a... And I'm like, I had something going on inside. I was just like, oh, I don't want to ask
because
strangers.
It's uncomfortable.
I was like that guy. I don't want to bother people.
Yeah.
And then, but we had some incredible interactions I would have missed out on. I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
I forgot to tell you. I do want to tell you one other thing before I forget. About energy. So I go to the airport, and this is part of the answer to your question. It's keep challenging yourself. Keep doing the unknown. Keep showing your nervous system that you got yourself. And be aware. For me, I have a choice. Right now, do I want to act like this kind of man or this kind of man? What do I want to do? Mm. You know? So what was funny was, my trip was really funny. So I get to the airport, and I had so much fun dancing the whole week that I'm like, I'm going to keep dancing in the airport. So one thought I had was, you know, a couple of people gave me the side eye, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what's interesting in our society, though? All the people running around stressed, nobody gives them a look. But I'm happy, joyous, and dancing, and I get
the look. Yeah, it's weird.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm the one who's like,
Very unusual, yeah.
Yeah. So I get on the plane, and this woman walks by me, and she just smiles, and she goes, I was in my chair grooving a bit. I was just grooving, you know, having fun with my headphones. And she goes, I got to listen to what you're listening to. And she said something that I thought was wild. And I'll tell you why it's wild in 1 second. She goes, you know, you bring me a lot of joy. And then she went and sat down. What was interesting was there was a gas leak in the plane. So they said, get off the plane. Like not even a please get off the plane. It was get off the plane now. So we caught up. She went to a similar seminar where, you know, everyone was all happy and all that. And I showed her something. I said, you're not going to believe this. So 12 minutes before she told me I brought her joy, swear to God, true story, I texted my entire group. I said, hey, everybody, I love you guys. This was an incredible weekend. Still grooving. I challenge you all to dance in the airport because the world needs more joy.
Mm.
And 12 minutes later, this lady says, you brought me joy. I'm like, wow. I thought that was incredible.
No, that's awesome.
So in terms of keeping the vibe, that's a really good point. What did I do when I got home? I enlisted you to do something kind of silly.
Yeah.
To keep in the vibe. But the way they teach, I have to say the way that these two, Alexi and Preston teach, is nothing like Tony Robbins. And God bless Tony Robbins. I mean, the guy's obviously changed the world, right? But this is a whole different ballgame of embodiment, nervous system regulation, and I had the same situation with Tony Robbins of like being a bit of a bubble, but they also gave us practices too, right? So I have practices that I'm doing, but yeah, it's pretty cool stuff.
That's yeah. cool. I yeah. like it. Cool, man. So we'll, I guess we'll look down the line with pods and hopefully you can continue to tell us about...
See how shrinky I am. If I shrinky?
No, I'll ask you to dance. I'll tell you, bro, get up. I might start dancing for the pod.
I might do that. I would do that.
Keep up that energy.
Yeah, yeah. We'll put tunes. I will do that. I don't care. And what I realized was the way they structured the weekends, I realized how scared I really was. I think I was a bit of a fraud. Like, I think, not fraud's a bit strong, but I think I was pretending. I was Dave Rosenberg, all cool, all calm, all the answers, blah, blah. Bunch of bullshit. But one of the funniest things of all, I love this guy. So, and I'll say his first name only, but Nick, my good friend, oh man, sends me, after he saw my video of me dancing in front of the two young girls, he says, "Dave, I am seriously considering tattooing your face on my back." But I mean, he said, like, "I never realized you make me feel shy." And he doesn't realize it. 2 months ago, I wouldn't have done that. You know,
because you were kind of scared. But I think most, to be fair, I think most people would, because we're very scared of rejection. And you mentioned that to me also, yes. Right? It's kind of human nature. Mm-hmm. It comes back to, I guess, a long time ago when we were trying to be accepted by tribes. If not, it was death, right? I'm either accepted or I'm dead.
Yeah.
So I got to be accepted.
But, you know, like what was kind of interesting when we approached those two young women that I danced in front of yesterday, my heart was pounding, but I mean, I was fully like,
you were enjoying yourself. Are you going to show the video? Why not?
I don't care.
I think it was good. And yes, you were.
Oh, sure. I'm not here. I'm here full frame, dude. Yeah.
You know what? The two girls were feeling more uncomfortable, as in, but not because it was bad. Uncomfortable because for them it was like, "Wow, like, this is weird. Right. Yeah, this guy's dancing."
Did you see them? One of them was like, she went like this. She's like, "Yeah, wow, this guy's actually doing this because they would not do that."
Yeah. And I think to the seminar.
I think one thing that's really interesting to share with the group, and I do think this is important for middle-aged guys. As I went through this workshop, I realized I have a story that's like, I'm kind of past my prime. I kind of am, but I'm kind of past my, and I don't even want to say that. No, I'm not. So I'm kind of past my prime. I'll let the other people take the lead. You know, I don't want to like bother anybody, da, da, da. And then there's plenty of juice left in this guy, like, as you saw.
Yeah.
But every single person there, I hope I get some comments from them because they'll see the pod. One of the leaders, Preston, said this. I thought it was fucking unreal. He said, you know, there's certain people in the world that you'll know, like famous people, you'll know them. They will not be memorable because you never felt them. And the one thing I will say I'm very proud of, every single person on that weekend felt me. That I know. And that's what I'm proud of. So, you know, I think it's important. Like, do you want to be known or do you want to be felt?
Mm.
And if you want to be felt, you cannot be shrinking in the background, being like,
right.
You know, oh boy, I'm scared of you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think women really enjoy having a man that has a bit of a center.
Right.
So like, that's what happened to me, like out of the blue. So I'll tell another awkwardish thing sort of, but so I've been on a bit of a slump with women just because, again, like I've been a little, well, I had the business breakup, but I also had a little contraction. Wouldn't you know it, the second after I find my balls at this thing and I step into that leadership role and I start, I'm like, I'm the guy I want to be. I'm like, boom, boom, boom. A much younger woman, again, part of my story, I'm too old. I can't date a woman younger than me. Well, I don't have to. I'll date someone older than me too. But it was so nice to have a younger woman come up to me and she's like, "Hey, awesome leadership. Like, that was awesome. I have a boyfriend. So like, I just want to be clear on that, but I'm really attracted to you." And I was like, I haven't had that in forever. And it happened with three women at this workshop that came up after.
Right.
So like, wow, like they were, because I found something inside me that went out, you know, that was
right.
Like,
were the people going there mostly singles or there people in relationships?
No, there was a lot of people in relationships too.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there was both. It was both.
Okay. As I said, it's also, I think, a good spot to meet people.
Yeah, too, totally. Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's some possibilities. You never know. But I will say this, like I got into context of like how soft I'd been for a while and felt good to be not harsh, but to be firm, to be like, you know, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. Boom, boom, boom. The leadership stuff.
Of being the Dave you want to be. Basically.
And there's a really good point I want to make. And this is for every single person out there, whether you go to workshop, personal workshop, web, Personal growth workshops are not. The one thing that was interesting to me was, as soon as I stepped into this leadership thing, it was so easy. I don't know why. I was just like, boom. And I stepped in and I settled the group down and I communicated. There was tons of love. We all came together. We were fractured, brought us back together. But when I was talking to people about it, I noted that the man I wanted to be was like right there. There wasn't a lot of work needed. I just stepped, I took one step forward. And I told my colleagues when I did my final close, I said, every single one of us, like, Manny, you know who you want to be pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
You could choose to do that 10 seconds after we end. 10 seconds. You could go on the street and do it. You can call somebody and do it. You can work tomorrow and do it. We have a choice to step into that.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things we want to be careful of is thinking we're so far away. We're so broken. We're so fucked up. And look, I got lots of dings. Who doesn't? We all have dings. But at the end of the day, stepping forward into the person you want to be is actually kind of easy. I was like, oh, shit. Okay, so what was it? I was clear. I was in integrity. I was honest. I was in my heart. Boom, 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 boom. I'm like, oh, my God. How'd that happen? It just happened with a little bit of intention, and I do believe the first 2 days of the workshop, too.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I think I read in a book somewhere, someone told me, because sometimes it's difficult to say, okay, but what would the ideal me do? I liked a quote that was said that would be like, what was the quote? Something around, what would your superhero do right now? What would superhero Dave do right now? Right. And you probably know deep down what that is. And sometimes that path is the one, again, that's more difficult, that's challenging, that's uncomfortable, but it's the path that you should take if...
Step up.
Yeah, basically, to step up.
Step up.
To be the person you need to be in that moment. And by the way, the leadership in you, you have...
I always had it.
You always had the leadership in you, clearly, and you also do like you ran a company for a long time. Yeah. I think it's part of it. You develop skills also as a leader because not everyone in that room is necessarily a leader.
No, that's
I would argue that a lot of guys maybe are watching this and are like, "Yeah, sure, but I'm not the guy to go tell the group exactly how to function."
Don't care. Self leadership is leadership. Like this is what I told the group when we all fractured was self leadership is still leadership. All right, who do I want to be in this minute? Because some people, when we had a wobble with the group before I stepped in, everybody was screaming at each other and stuff. And like, right, are you guys being the person you want to be right now? Is this who you want to be? Like, no. Screaming, yelling, dysregulated? Right, yeah. No. So there's that. So there's a last piece I want to highlight for the finale of this episode that I think is so important. And that is, there's something we talked about. I've talked about it in my previous coaching, but they brought it back for this. So there's something called the goal line, which is like money, finances, objectives, all that stuff, right? You know, like concrete things. But there's a soul line. And so the soul line is who are you on the journey forward? Like who are you being as you move towards that goal? So my big speech, I just said to everybody, hey, look, like if we raise a ton of money and we all hate each other in the process, that's not a fucking win. That's not a win. Who you become is important. So it's like, we recommend soul line plus goal line. Like who are you in the pursuit of your goal? And that's why people that make millions of dollars by cheating people, is that really who you want to be? And they're people like that, some of them will laugh it off and go, yeah, but I have a great fucking boat. I don't care. But deep down, there's something they know. They know they didn't get it the way they should. And they'll do something about that. But goal line versus soul line was so important for our group to realize as we move towards our goal, it's so important being conscious of who we want to be. And I think this is what I want to say to the listeners for their life is like, you know, you can go after the money, the girl, the boy, the fame, whatever you want. But who are you becoming in the process is so important.
I like that.
Yeah, that was a big
one. To reflect on.
Yeah. Cool, man. So I think that's what I got for this episode. I thought it was fascinating to see the women in the beginning resistant to softening and receiving. They were just a bit like, oh no, I'm independent. You know, ugh. They had a real reaction immediately. And the men who were like, I don't want to be creepy. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be,
I'm not looking at you.
You know, I'm not looking at you. And you know, it was really, really interesting. And there was a lot of notes in our group about women are like, you know what? A man came on to me today and I enjoyed it. I liked it. Whereas 2 weeks ago, I would have told him to screw off. And the guys are like, I'm a little more bold, and the women are receiving it well. Yeah. So yeah, it's really cool stuff.
And by the way, just before we close, I'm just putting myself now in the mind of maybe some women listening to this, because you were saying guys being more ballsy, guys being able to talk to women, being able to be themselves. Did you feel like the guys within that program or weekend understood the mission without, because there's always the couple of people who are going to go to the other extreme and then maybe be disrespectful. And then, and then it allows everyone to point fingers and say, this is exactly what we're trying to shy away from. Yeah. So did you see guys understanding the mission and being, yes, that person that they want to be, ballsy, but also respectful, also have that integrity within them?
Well, I think the thing that's most important is you combine the heart, the spine with the heart. So you're ballsy, but with heart. You're ballsy, but with respect. You're ballsy, but with compassion.
Okay.
So you marry the two together. And I think that's what I saw. Now, this group is a very highly selected group,
right? Like, for that,
right? But where it was just fascinating to watch how many of the women were like, I hate receiving. They're like, I hate it. I hate receiving. And then they didn't hate it after the, they did not hate it at all. And, I like what you said earlier, and it's something that one of our previous guests said, which is, how can men and women come together more? Because I don't think it's a win to just go, well, we don't need men and fuck them. Like, gone. That doesn't work. So how can we come together more? And I think it doesn't mean, as I said, it doesn't mean that women are the only ones who receive. But I think we want to get away from this. The women that I saw and the women, they said it, they were very open about, wow, like, I didn't notice how closed I was.
Yeah.
And Nana, our guest, previous guest who spoke from the women's perspective, said something I thought was stunning. She said, I think it's really not that fair that in the society today, a lot of us are asking men to be more open and more vulnerable when women are more closed and less vulnerable.
Mm.
And I think that's a meaningful quote.
Yeah, I like her. It.
Yeah. So, and I would just say, like, if you're feeling a little weird about what we said, like, try receiving. Try it. Like, see how it goes.
Right.
See how that works for you.
And you did say a distinction at the beginning between the feminine and the masculine, as in these are energetics.
Energies, yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's possible there's a woman who's more... that leans towards 100%. Her masculine.
Nothing wrong with that.
Exactly, nothing wrong with it.
But the dance, do it by choice.
Right, but the dance is the important thing, right? The dance between these two makes kind of like that,
but
that,
like,
power.
Even sexual energy comes from the polarity, right? And if you don't have the polarity, if you're both in the masculine energetic, you're just going to fight, right? So there's something really beautiful that's possible here. Again, some women are going to want to be in the more masculine pole. You date a more feminine man. That's fine. Do it consciously. That's all. So, yeah, man. So there you go.
Great talk. I love this.
Cool. Thanks,
and,
man.
And yeah, we see you're pumped. I'm
jacked.
Great.
So jacked.
Yeah.
I'm not jacked about putting my dance video out, but I don't care. Like, so what? What's the worst that's going to happen? I don't care. We'll figure out a way to post it. We'll post it. But what I would say, one other thing that we're terrible at, but we'll say it. Please subscribe. It will really help us. Subscribe, which I've learned is the key to the game. So please do that. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And Manny, thanks again, my brother.
Thanks, brother.
And
pleasure.
Thanks for filming my dance.
I love it.
My dance thing.
Hopefully, we're going to have more dances in the future.
I'm going to do something crazier. Like, I'm down. Like, let's do it. So.
Oh, okay. Final thing, because I spoke with my friend yesterday after what happened. Was it yesterday? Was it on?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
It was yesterday. I think we should set ourselves weekly challenges. Weekly things that you're going to be doing to get out of your comfort zone. I think it's probably going to be one of the ways also to keep that fire within you.
Well, this is what I do with my buddy Charles. Like, so Charles and I pinged each other back. I'm not done with him. I'm pinging him. I'm going to ping him to do something crazy. So,
I like it.
But we'll talk about it a little bit more in a future episode. I just want to say that miracles, wonder, energy, it's all in the unknown. The known is past. The known, what you're good at, what you're used to doing. we have a drive to stay in our comfort zone, but you need to take a little bit of energy and push yourself out. So anyway, okay, couple cool of false landings and shitty endings, but we're done. So thanks, man.
Thank you all.
Super. Thank you all so much. And again, subscribe and we'll talk soon. Thanks a lot.
See ya.